This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hold on to that.
Welcome back to the Shit Show 2.0.
Okay, Boomer.
Damn millennials. Wow.
Did not know that.
Even flirters who are obviously mentally ill.
You want to be my wife?
Oh, this is going to go downhill real quick.
What is going on? And welcome to Take on the World with
Johnny
and
Chase.
Our guest is back. This is a part two from last week's program. We got some stuff we didn't cover, and we didn't want to cram everything into a three-hour rap session. So,
I don't know. Can you cram all this stuff into one podcast?
I don't think we can.
Yeah, we can go on for days and days and yeah.
So we asked Chase to come back. Chase, you want to introduce yourself and the show that you're on?
Yeah, I'm Chase. I'm with Barrel Aged Flicks. We review movies and booze, talk a bunch of shit to each other, and have a lot of fun.
And where can they find you?
You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music. We're on YouTube Music now. Pretty much anywhere you can listen to other podcasts, we're there.
Sounds like what real men would do.
And I know there's another show that you need to promote.
Oh, yeah. Barrel-Aged Chicks would hunt me down if I don't mention them. The last time Ron was on a guest spot and he didn't give a shout-out, he got punched in the nuts really hard.
For real?
Yeah, probably. They probably just did it for fun.
Yeah, for real. We got it on.
Sam's, you're right. Fantastic.
So Barrel Age Flicks, Barrel Age Chicks, Take on the World, and my other podcast is Berks County Unsolved Deluxe Edition. We are all on the Deluxe Edition Network, so go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com, check out all the great podcasts. While you're there, check out the podcast of the month, and I think this will be posted in May. So for the month of May, the podcast of the month will be Barrel-Aged Chicks. Are you into movies, pop culture, and comedy? Well, you got to sit down and see what the ladies think. Come meet Sammy, Snow, Crystal, Harley, and Yen as they give you the chicks' perspective on movies and much, much more. This is the female side of the Barrel-Aged Flicks fellers, and they started up their own thing because the guys just talk too much, I guess. I don't know what it is. So grab a few beers and sit down and listen to the chicks talk. Barstool Film School, a controversial comedy breakdown of some of their favorite flicks, old and new. Each episode, they take on your favorite flicks to determine if they pass the bar and join the ranks of the truly excellent bar movies. Good bar movies can be hit or miss, but you'll never know until you take your shot. And the first round is on them. I'm in for that. Go to coffeebros.com and use TOTW10 for a discount at checkout. Coffee Brothers sources seasonal, award-winning, and specialty coffees, focusing on high-scoring and high-quality blends, espresso roasts, and single-origin coffees, which are all small-batch roasted. Experience complex taste notes from fragrant and aromatic to bold and rich. Coffee Brothers Coffee is a two-person brother team, hence the name. They roast all of their coffees in small batches out of their New York City roastery. Go to coffeebros.com and use TOTW10 for a discount at checkout. Okay, we're back.
Yeah, I'm actually really impressed with the collection on Deluxe Edition Network. We've gathered quite a few really high quality shows.
I think so too. I mean, not counting this one, but I think there's some really top-notch shows on the network.
Y'all are great. I think you guys undersell yourselves a lot.
Well, we don't take it too seriously, so we do it for stress relief, really. That's really what it is.
Listen, I absolutely contribute nothing to this thing other than showing up and drinking beer and having a good time.
It's stress relief.
I just, what comes off of my head is you do all the research, and then there's shit in my head that I'll throw on you, and sometimes I'll stump you and whatever.
It's cheaper than therapy.
Yeah. I do the research, and then what he does is ask me a question that I didn't research and make me feel like an idiot.
Now, I ain't never on the stone, you know what I'm saying?
So, when we started off last week, we started off, we were going to focus on Bigfoot, but that kind of went down the trail. And I'm glad it did, because we were talking about a lot of different stuff, and I found it interesting. And I think a whole bunch of people did, too, because we got a bunch of views on that video, which I really liked. And I hope they all come back for this part two, because I want to continue on with some of the stuff we were talking about. We had mentioned that we all had some personal experiences, and I will go last. Do not touch me. I'd like you and Johnny to expand upon
hands
some
above the table, Johnny.
Yes, please. Way above the table.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
I'd like you and Johnny to expand upon some of your personal experiences. We'll start with you, Chase.
Oh, are we talking about all paranormal or just the big furry guys?
Let's start with
including Comic-Con.
Let's start with a big furry guy, and then we can get into whatever. I mean, we kind of went off the rails a little bit last time, and that's fine, because I found it very interesting. Usually I try to steer everybody back, but I really didn't feel like it last time because I was having fun.
Okay, so my first experience, let's see here, that was actually Christmas Day at about 6:30 p.m. on, 2017, I think it was. Might have been 2018. I think it was 2018. But I came around the corner driving back home away from Crystal's grandparents, where we had a little Christmas get together, and kind of illuminated would be the left leg. His foot was on the double yellow line. Actually, his toes were touching the right side of the double yellow line. And as I came around the corner and my headlights illuminated him more, it was taking a step, and the next footfall was in the ditch. So this thing's stride length was fucking massive.
That's 10 or 12 feet.
I came up to it, it was already gone into the woods. Yeah, it was huge. I expect it was in the midst of a jog. But that's one of the things that people talk about, how they actually have shorter legs in comparison to their body than humans do. So when they're running, it looks like they're just riding a bicycle, kind of. That real
I just got to, like,
smooth.
Sorry.
I just heard a Queen song go through my head. Like,
why is that thing on a bicycle?
Ride my at bicycle.
2 o'clock in the morning. Hang on a second.
My second experience was just footprints that I found like 4 or 5 days after Easter. I think that was 2021. And then I think it was later in that year, I want to say around November, that I actually saw one off in the outskirts of the wood line on that same property out in like Partlow, Virginia. And it was just kind of tree peeking at me. So the thing is, I'm a dumbass, all right? I really like flashlights. I had just got a new flashlight that was like. Fuck is that? And you could see, you know, I thought it was an owl or something up in the tree at first, and I'm shining the light and I see it crouch really quick and then kind of peek out the side and then stand back up, and then I started to barely make out the actual silhouette of the body, and that's when I was like, oh my god. So I went and grabbed Crystal. We both came out, and I showed her, and it was still kind of chilling out there, and stepped out away from the tree a little bit. At which point, she was completely done with the situation, said she wanted nothing to do with it, and it was bullshit, and she went back inside. and then... was it 2 years ago now? We had a group of like three of them, probably about 30 yards-ish off the front porch at this house, which is different property from that last one. But I've noticed over the last 3 or 4 years now, it's been kind of a habituation zone where we live. But yeah, we get a kind of a habituation pattern here between like the ass end of October to about March. Most years, we didn't see much this year at all, but I actually had a point out there where I started exchanging things. I'd bring like an apple and put it on a stump, and I got like a couple snail shells and a mushroom.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
In return, it was kind of neat.
I've seen some things on online with the that small exchange, and it was like apples and that was the other thing, marbles. I think we touched on this before.
You mentioned that in part one, where the Native Americans had legends or stories of trading.
Would you like leave a penthouse magazine?
I did think that was fascinating because I had never heard that.
Glad you heard that.
I heard you.
You like? I'm just gonna ignore that. Like, what do you got? What do you got?
So,
I know some KY jelly and some beer.
like a structure in Colorado, right?
Yes. Well. Like I said before, I go in the saying, I did not know it was a structure when I first encountered it. So we went to the same place, same area, elk hunting for, I don't know, like 6-7 years. And the first time I walked up there, and it was like, it looked like a big teepee, man, the sticks, like not sticks, but
trees,
fucking trees. And they weren't huge trees, but like trees the size of your leg.
And I have pictures, and I'll throw them up. I'm not going to try to do it on the screen again.
And I just walked by. I'm like, huh, that's weird. That's weird. I'm like, okay, maybe some drunk people came by. Yeah, and was so like,
we get, I don't see any structures per se, but we definitely have tree sign around here, like directional snapping. I don't know if you guys are familiar with
that,
but it seems like they might... mark territories
where like and branches are snapped off at like off every 10 like, foot high. Like who's tall enough to do that? And then why would you
they're all in the same direction.
Right.
Yeah. Like the snap off is pointing in one direction and another, I don't know, 10 meters
or they're like weaved. They're the weaved. So you'd know like, okay, it's obvious they didn't fall that way. You know, they're like a tree right. would fall and then another branch is weaved over top of it and underneath. You're like, okay, something intervened with that and did that. It wasn't natural.
And if you're not looking for it and paying attention, you would totally just be like, oh, it's just a tree that fell.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
I mean, that's a method of markation used by a lot of the indigenous people.
What was that?
Throughout North America,
there was also that other one where, like, if you ever see a tree that, like, it looks like they broke it and snapped it, so it looks like an L.
Yep, pointing toward water.
Is that what it is? Pointing towards water. But it, I mean, it could be like a huge, like, tree coming and, like, just a stump, and it looks like it was a naturally broken and turned a certain way, and then it grew that way. And, like, that is not natural. That's either what I was watching at the time was they said that was like a Native American thing to do, was to snap the tree and then point a direction of whatever they were trying to, you know, do.
Well, it was a specialized, you actually have to score one side of it as you bend it down, because if you snap it, it'll just die.
Right. Okay.
So they'll score one side and they'll score the other side and create that L shape.
Man, that's fascinating. It's like, when you go in the woods, you don't, like, really think about that shit. Like, it's like, da-da-da, I'm in the woods, no, having a good time.
Not in modern time, no.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, back in the day, the woods was all people had. And, you know, it was a source of everything. Food, life, water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were in a tribe, would you give up your water source? Like, hey, come right over here.
Hell no.
A fucking neon arrow sign. You know, you got to make some kind of...
But isn't that what I mean, if everybody did that, wouldn't everybody know that sign?
No, not necessarily. Not the white folk.
Well, back in the day, I mean, you're talking, like, you know, in the 9th century and on, this was very commonplace, and probably long before that. And these were tree signs that they would make and were pretty well understood interculturally between the different nations.
I think it's just like, it's like another language that's not spoken anymore. You know, it's
absolutely,
you know, you look at it and be like, oh, well, that makes sense. But when we go out, if we went out there during that day, we're not looking for like a bent tree that says, we might make the correlation and figure it out, but I don't know. I doubt it.
So now, I'm not as...
Man, my mouth is dry as hell.
I'm not as Bigfoot educated. What's the thumping? For those who have no clue.
You want me to show you?
So, the tree knocks.
Yeah, the tree knocks.
Tree knocking is actually a really well-documented method of long-range communication among other great apes. And obviously, we haven't observed one doing it, so it's not like we can 100% prove that it is, in fact, Sasquatch doing it. But we hear it a lot when coupled with other reports of sightings and things like that. And it's just a very effective way of, you know, you take a big dried log, basically, and smack the crap out of a tree. It's not exactly difficult to do, but it indicates the use of tools and indication of attempted communication.
Yeah, it now, could
whether
be like
it's
a...
for territorial reasons or what, we don't know.
Knock on the pipe 3 times. Wait, what was that song? Shit.
If you want me.
There you go. Twice on the pipe.
If the you want me. Is no.
There we go.
You're going way back for that one.
And karaoke now.
Our fans have asked you never to sing again.
Not going to happen. It's my love, man. So knock on the tree 3 times.
No.
If you want to get raped by a Yeti. Twice on.
No, Jesus Christ.
Twice on the root. If the answer is yes.
Okay.
You might want to edit that out.
No, I'm not editing that out.
Sorry.
Everybody needs to know what I deal with.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
I'm so difficult, Michael.
So have you ever had any other...
It just so happens you asked.
Okay.
Yes, and you probably heard this, so bear with me. I'll give you the short answer. Hunting, Colorado, 11,000 feet up. I think the place is called Donner Pass, which is weird.
That where people got eaten?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, but it was called Donner Pass because I think they passed through there, but they didn't eat the people at that.
Point. They passed through it, but it was named after them.
So it's pretty tough. You've been there, Michael.
So you're a cannibal.
I'm a cannibal.
Apparently I am too, because I was there too.
But yeah, as you can see, if it was.
That's the only qualification now?
I guess.
It was snowing its ass off, that would be you're dead. That's absolutely tough ass terrain. Now, we went up and it was very nice weather.
It was beautiful.
Did get cold and icy the one night. I woke up drunk in a puddle of water. I was like, no, we ain't going hunting this morning.
Yeah, it was water. Water.
If it was whiskey, I would have. it was my very first night up there. Me and my dad went up. His buddy went up. There were two tents. My dad was like, dude, you snore too much. I'm sleeping in my buddy's tent. And it was like his buddy's tent was a huge Civil War tent with a stove, coffee maker, all fucking like thing. They were like ready for like to spend years up there. I got like a two-man hug yourself tent with like look at the stars deal. Like, and so I'm sitting there. I got my gun underneath my pillow, fully loaded 45. And I'm looking up at the stars. I'm like, man, this is beautiful. This sun can get better than this, man. Fall asleep. I wake up, God knows, in the middle of the night to some god-awful grunting, growling thing stomping its hoofs at me. And I was like, what the fuck is that? I reach back, grab the gun, and I'm like, I'm fucking shooting this bastard if this thing comes any closer. And I hear it grunting, stomping, and I hear it take off, and it runs by my tent, brushes the tent, and I roll over like a fucking combat roll, and I'm pointing the gun at it, right? And that was it. It just went away. Nothing else after that. My heart's fucking racing, and I'm like, what in the absolute fuck was that? Was that a bear? Was that an elk?
Is this what you were talking about when you said you almost killed everybody in the camp?
Well, yeah, if I would have let loose when the thing was in front of me, like, yeah, my dad and his buddy would have been dead probably. Like, die, you wicked spotter, Satan. Just like blindly shooting. And I woke up the next morning and my dad's like, God damn it, my back hurts. He's like, you fucking snore so hard. I'm like, Dad, he's like, what? My back hurts. I'm like, did you hear that last night? He's like, what the hell are you talking about? I said that fucking monster that was like outside of my tent. He's like, you're gay. Go back to, go make some coffee, you homo.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, no, I didn't say that, but like, I'm just joking. Like, make light of the situation. And it's like, nobody believed me. And it's like, yeah, okay. But I swear to God, I have no reason to lie, man. It was like, I don't know what it was. What I actually think it was just a pissed off. The elk were in rut. So I think it was just an elk because we were down at the campsite calling all day. So they probably moved down there at night and were like, just looking for pussy, right? You know, that's what they do in the rut.
And they found one in the two-man tent.
They found one with a fucking half-loaded Glock. It's like, bitch, bend over.
So is this where I tell my story when I was in the Rockies and almost got eaten by either a Sasquatch or a bear?
This is where we
the fuck?
Oh, no, I lie. Yeah, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
Another story from the same exact spot.
Is it?
Yes.
Damn.
That's what I was trying to fucking tell you.
Oh, see that's weird.
The same exact fucking spot.
So I went out with him and his father and went archery hunting for elk in the Colorado Rockies. I was so excited to be camping in the Rockies. And I had this Now, a one-man tent for me is like a coffin.
You had the Ron Popeil tent.
I did.
Throw it in the air and it lands and it...
Yeah, I just dropped my tent and it opened. I staked it to the ground. I said, I'm done.
Dude, that's kind of dope.
I know.
Well, it was till the next morning.
It got so fucking windy, it ripped the tabs off the side. Shit. Anyway, so I'm
so
like,
I do my tent's gone. So it's all like hammock and I have to rig up a roof over it and I have to put up my own floor and everything else. Fucking 45 minutes of setup. But at least it only weighs like a pound and a half. So.
Nope, mine was about 45 seconds of setup.
I think we woke up the next morning, your tent was like half gone. And you're like, son of a fucking bitch.
So I set my tent up and I'm all fucking pleased with it. And I squeeze myself into this thing like a sausage, into a casing. I don't have my CPAP machine, so I'm not going to sleep well. So I'm tired. I really haven't slept for a couple days.
Oh, this was after the fight with the...
Yeah, that's a different story. After the fight with the demon.
No, I was going to say the whole mishap at the airport.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, I get in there. It's dark. You can't have a campfire because there was wildfires right before that. So, It's a little chilly. Laying in there. And all of a sudden, I hear what sounds like something trampling through camp. And
dude, I'm telling you, man, you heard the same fucking thing I did.
And
your first
I go to zip the tent just to open up and look like the tent's going to protect me. And then all of a sudden I hear this growling. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm scared shitless. I'm in the Rockies. I'm thinking this grizzly bear is going to fucking maul me or Sasquatch.
Now mind you, grizzlies aren't known. They don't go down that far into the Rockies.
I don't know that. What the fuck could I know?
I am just saying.
It could have been a pack of Sasquatch. I don't know. So I'm laying there, and I have no idea what's going on. And it sounds like he's tossing the cooler. Like I'm thinking, oh, my God. And
you see what he does? Right away, he blames it on me.
This goes on for hours. And I'm scared shitless in this tent. For hours.
And he wouldn't even go out to pee.
Every time I went to open a zipper right here, and again, I closed the zipper real quick. Like a little kid. I was scared. I'm not ashamed to say it. So this goes on all night long, and I'm so exhausted. And finally, the sun comes up, and I hear his dad outside his tent. So I'm thinking, I better tell him that I heard something. Like, it can't be far because I just heard it not long
ago. Yeah, well, fag, go make some coffee.
Yes. So I unzip the tent a little bit. I see his dad out there. So I unzip it quick. I run over to tell him that. And then all of a sudden, I hear it like behind me. And I spin around and it's his fucking tent. He's fucking snoring. That's what I heard all fucking night. Nah, this guy's snoring.
It had to have been more than that.
So. There's been a recently postulated anthropological new theory, I guess, about snoring and how possibly it was a defense mechanism.
That's how I scared that Yeti away.
To make make something think that there was this horrible growling predator.
There was.
Instead of just us sleeping.
It was a Johnosaurus.
So it works.
So wait, that's like our whole biological evolution is to be overweight and start to snore. Just protect yourself from wild animals. Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it was
a theory.
It's still in research. But,
so I've never had a real Bigfoot experience of any kind.
I think you. I think you did. I don't think what you heard was me, dude. I'm telling you, Michael, your experience was the same as mine.
I don't snore. What are you talking about?
Oh no, he knows he snores.
I know I snore, but when I first,
I have seen this man fall asleep standing up.
Okay, that being said, when I first went out to Colorado, I was not. Fuck? I was not this big, was I?
No, no, you weren't.
I was in shape. I was A shape. I had a flat stomach, and I was not snoring. I'll just say that. And that whole fucking, I can't explain it, man. It was so weird. And then on top of that, when just from right up the hill from us where we were sleeping, 200 yards, there was that Yeti structure. And I so wanted to show you it, but the fucking place burned down. But that's the way it is.
Convenient.
Yeah.
That's what I said to him.
I flew out there on my off hours. Like, nobody ever believe me.
So, but that trip.
It's funny because I've always kind of been.
Go ahead, Chase.
The guy that's, you know, researching whatever, and I'll ask the weird questions, and people think I'm a little odd for it, but fuck it. Crystal's brother actually came up when I was talking about this stuff, and he's like, "Oh no, we had one chase after us back when we were." I guess they had the Jeep going. They were doing burnouts or whatever. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and his buddy fell off of the back of it and started screaming because he saw this thing running after them. And it was an 8-foot something that was running on 2 legs and not a person.
Man, I don't know. Do you guys got like a lot of nuclear power plants down there?
We do have one.
It's like just some crazed, let loose, like ex-worker.
So we're over here at Lake Anna. And they actually call it the Lake Anna Monster, and that they're talking about a Bigfoot. Of course, now it's like publicized, and they do Lake Anna Monster festivals and shit like that. And they have a Facebook page, which is just a guy dressed up in a Bigfoot suit, and it's a good laugh. But Louisa County, not too far away from us, has a lot of sightings. But the weird shit is Crystal's brother. He's this kind of guy that basically lives in the woods. You can hardly ever get a hold of him because he just doesn't feel the need for a phone. He's always out in the woods, just fucking around, doing something, hunting or building something or whatever it is. But he'll be out there until the wee hours of the morning, at least he used to be. And he told me about where he and his buddies were out camping, and they came up on these 3 things. They were, and they built. So they were about 9 to 10 foot tall, very pale, almost translucent skin. One was crouching over the corpse of a deer and eating it, and the 2 others were standing next to it, kind of waiting their turn. But what they were
the fuck?
Bipedal, humanoid-ish.
Yeah, we got to take the show. Wildest
thing. I'd never heard of it before.
We got to take this show down south.
Yeah. Well, 3 years later, I'm listening to the Paranormal Roundtable with Josh Turner. And he starts talking about these things called pale crawlers, not to be confused with the Frisco crawlers, but a pale crawler. And it's everything he described. Like there's reports all over North America of them, not as popular or commonplace as Bigfoot. But that's when I was like, the light came on. I was like, oh my God, is that what we're seeing here? And then about a year after I listened to that episode, and actually, no, it was probably 3 months. And I didn't really talk about it, but Crystal calls me on the phone in tears. She had been on the way home, and on Lake Anna Parkway, one of the big roads out this direction, she's just absolutely inconsolable on the phone with me. I don't know what the hell just went in front of my car. I almost hit it. Goes on to describe this 10-foot hairless humanoid with almost translucent skin. She's like, yeah, you could see its fucking ribs.
Oh my God.
And the pinkness of its
organs. She ran it over and was like, get a job, hippie.
So, but people are, you know, it's one of those things. There are reports of similar things seen along the East Coast during a pre-colonial era.
Oh, dude.
But
I mean,
there's been a recent uptick in these reportings.
What do you think if we came down to your neck of the woods, what do you think the chances of us seeing something would be?
Slim to none.
In the wintertime, actually, probably pretty likely.
In the wintertime?
I'd say around November to January is the best time. I'm actually looking to get one of the psionics cameras. It's a full color night vision camera. I would love to do something.
Dude, could you imagine we do all this shit like some goddamn hillbillies with a camera and an iPhone, caught a bipedal Bigfoot. They captured it and we're not going to say what they did with it. Top secret.
One thing, I have no interest in trying to keep a Bigfoot calf. That's going to rip somebody's goddamn head off.
Oh, I keep one down in my basement.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, pretty boy.
We're not here to talk about our kinks.
Don't pull on the chains. Oh, it's going to get a lot worse.
So the Colorado trip for me, I no other Bigfoot experience, but there was a paranormal experience. Well,
yeah. And this for me,
I call it unexplained because I can't explain.
Because you are the least paranormal person ever. Like,
truth.
You're very skeptic.
I am.
You've never come to me like, hey, I've got to believe in this story. I'm like, no, it's just, you're very.
I'm skeptical.
You're a normie.
Whoa.
So to speak. Anyways, I digress.
So
tell your story.
We had a long flight. And we partook in some drinks along the way. And we got to Denver Airport. The rental car place, who eventually did us very right, didn't have
our. Yeah, they were about to get blown up from like the team from Philly.
They had no cars.
Not us, by the way.
They had no cars for anybody. Like plane loads and plane loads of people coming in that had cars reserved. No cars. So they were paying for people's Uber and hotel room to come back the next day.
God. I remember that Uber ride was so weird.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, what's the furthest Uber ride you ever? He goes, Osama bin Laden. I was like, what? I was like, how far have you driven an Uber car? I love Mexico. And I was like, all right, whatever.
The dude was weird. So we get to this hotel. We check in. It's late. Because we didn't want to ask his dad to come out that late to the airport and. So, like, we get to the hotel, and I'm just dead tired. I don't have my breathing machine. I don't have my CPAP. I know I'm not going to sleep well. So I lay down in this bed, and as hard as it was for me to fall asleep without my CPAP machine, I started falling asleep right away. Him, he's dead to the world in 2 seconds. Snoring like a grizzly bear. But I knew it was him next to me, so it didn't
scare me. Or is it an elk?
Or an elk, or a Sasquatch. So I'm laying on the bed, and I'm half, you know how you're, like, you're not fully asleep, but you're conscious, but you're so relaxed.
In between.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I feel, and my eyes are closed, I feel something at the foot of my bed, not just standing there, like going to crawl on my bed, like just crawl up over me on my bed. And I
probably the cockroaches.
Were you feeling a lot of weight, or was it
just like something pushing on the cushion on the mattress? Presses on the mattress. Nothing touching me.
It was a firm palm. Yeah. It was a firm hand.
So I'm like, and without opening my eyes, I'm like, John, stop fucking around. I got to get some sleep. And he rolls over. He goes, huh? And I look over.
I doubt I even rolled over.
And I, he's in his bed. And I'm like, the fuck? And so I start going back again and I feel it again. And then the bed starts like undulating. And I'm thinking, oh, it's one of those beds that has the coin operated thing next to it. So I'm reaching over to shut it off because I just want to fall asleep. And I'm looking and it's not there. I get up and turn the light on. And he's like, what the fuck? And like, there's nothing there. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And this happened like two or three times. And I finally just said, fuck it, and fell asleep.
Fuck it, I'll just get molested. I don't care.
I tried to wake him up and tell him, dude, stop fucking with me. And like, I finally realized.
I love how you blamed me like eight times before you realized that you're just, I don't know, half crazed, sleep deprived.
I don't know. I never figured it out. But
deprived?
Deprived. Shut up. I was hoping you missed that. Damn it.
I was deprified.
Ron, how are you doing today?
So I can never explain what happened.
Wait, that's not... I thought you said that like the something was rubbing your leg.
No, you said that. That was your party. That's your part of the story.
The sheets got pulled down underneath you.
No, come
on. You're like, oh, Johnny, please stop. Don't go any further. That would be horrible.
That was your story.
And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm fucking asleep, man. Leave me alone. You're like rubbing my shoulder. Like, fucking stop touching me, motherfucker.
Nothing like that. I never felt touched.
No, you were touched.
But always something on the bed or moving the mattress, or it was just weird. Like, I can't explain it.
I will agree, though. He was very like, holy shit. Like, this has never happened to me before. All jokes aside. And he's like, that was fucking weird, man. Like, there was something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were in like a crazy, like, I don't know how many hookers got killed in that hotel.
Probably 1,000.
Like, but it was like on the outskirts of fucking nowhere in the middle of like the desert somewhere.
It was probably a detached soul of one of the hookers that got killed.
I even took a picture of their sign outside and was like, yeah. What is it?
It's like, something about poo.
This is like dog poo for sale. Yeah. But like one of the signs dropped off, one of the letters dropped off. It was like dogs welcome, but it read like, dog poo welcome.
It was like dogs welcome pool.
I forget. Yes, yeah,
something like that. But it looked like dog poo for sale. Like, what kind of place did you get us?
I'm like, are you smoking in here? I'm like, no, what is that smell?
The whole place is no smoking on every door, and the whole place smelled like stale cigarettes.
Yeah, it's the old West for you, man.
Ooh, Jesus. Yeah. Just leftovers from a bygone era, you know?
So yeah. I have one other that I cannot explain.
Oh, do tell. Do I know this one?
Yeah. So when my wife was young.
Oh, okay. Enough said.
The house we live in now was her parents' house, and I built an addition on it that was as big or slightly bigger than the house that was there. And the property was part of a fort back in the way back days.
Now, if you go
American back, Indian War times,
there are signs, like legit signs planted. I don't know if you have this in Virginia, but they're like plaques planted in the ground, and it says like this house here
all
was
all over the place.
Right? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
So there's one down right down at the corner down here. It says this is the site of Fort Lebanon.
Yeah, that's what it was. Indian battleground.
Yeah. So
down the Schuylkill River,
American Indian War. And we actually have a, you could tell it was a wall at one time, a stone wall on our property that I think was one of the walls for the fort. Anyway, my wife, when she was young, saw what she thought was a pilgrim lady. Now, I attribute that to she knew it was a fort. She's susceptible to ghost stories. I was never that. Anyway, I passed that off as family thing, whatever. So my dad lives in Iowa. His wife is from Iowa. His wife's sister's from Iowa, but she moved to Virginia, and she was a dispatcher down there. So my dad and wife and my brother and sister came to visit. Her sister from Virginia came up to meet, and they all stayed here. And she woke up in the morning, and she looks at me. She goes, "You can't make fun of me." I said, "Oh, I most certainly can. That's kind of my thing." And she's like, "No, please, please, please just don't joke around about this. I just have a question to ask you." I said, "Go ahead." She goes, "Have you ever seen anything here?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Like, have you ever seen anything?" I said, "I see lots of things. I don't know what you mean." Because I wasn't even thinking ghost. And she goes, "Well, she was in the living room when she was sleeping on an air mattress. And she said, I woke up in the middle of the night. I looked up. And there was this lady dressed in like very, very old fashioned clothing, almost like a pilgrim, standing at the foot of my bed." And I said, "Stop right there." So I had Deb come out. I said, "Just repeat it to her." She said, "You told me you wouldn't make fun of me." I said, "I'm not making fun of you." And she repeated it. And Deb was like, "Oh my God, that's exactly what I saw when I was a kid." So now she didn't know the story. I find it unexplainable how someone who's, is not from the area, doesn't know the history of the property, who never heard that story before, to say that she saw the same thing that my wife did when she was younger.
I think that's fucking cool.
Hell yeah. Maybe that's what your dog barks at all the time.
Probably. The white
dog. Staring off into nowhere and like barking, like, "What the fuck are you looking at?"
He's just an idiot dog.
Nah, man, they see that shit, dude. I'm telling you.
Like I said on the first part, I think they're a little bit more in tune.
Yeah, they can.
I've had my fair share of ghost stories too.
Yes, I don't know if I went into this last time, but my a person that I knew in my younger life, they're. Their parents' house was
a registered historical site.
There we go. Got it. Nailed it. It was one of those, and apparently it was a beautiful stone farmhouse, but apparently it was where the Union soldiers would come back from the war and recover. And I remember her telling me, she's like, "I've seen stuff at the top of the stairs." Her dogs were always like alerting the shit, excuse me, all over. And I'm like, I never saw anything there. I never felt anything weird. Never felt like you see, like I have friends of mine that tell me I walked through like some cold apparition. It's like, whoo, you feel like this cold thing walked through you. You're like, "What the fuck was that?" And something weird happens, but I never had anything like that. But I mean, the place is ripe for like, and they have old photos from like, I would say like the 19th century. Just like when photography came out, and it's really cool, man. I'm like, how can a place like that not have history? How can there not be some poor bastard lingering around there? I'm like, "Oh, is it breakfast? I missed the boat again. God damn it." Like, I don't know.
Well, the thing is that's always fascinated me is like you have different types of hauntings, intelligent or your, what I call echoes, where it's just kind of like a replay that isn't really aware of anything. It's like, are these just, was it an emotional time for this individual and that just kind of imprinted on its surroundings and so it replays? And yeah, then right. The other one is what we, you know, what we talked about last time is it, you know, their consciousness truly still stuck there.
Yeah. Is it something that we stepped into and saw, like, kind of just like a videotape playing of that person there right. in that moment? It makes you wonder, like, we don't know. And it's so fun to, like, think of that and just, like, play on that and, you know, just not necessarily believe it, but just like, just dream about it, you know, and like think, we don't know. Could it be? Like I, my cousin, yeah. she was a lot older than me. I mean, a lot older than me. And they bought a house down near Rehoboth in the woods of Delaware down there. And apparently their house was like an old plantation, and her mom, it was always told that she had the sixth sense. And she, I remember going down there as a kid, and she had this easel set up and she had pictures, and there was like always like these ghosts, like ghostly apparitions in every photo. And you know, I'm like a little kid. I'm like, that's creepy. I don't want to stay here anymore. And, but it was never like malicious or like, you know, but to me, it was kind of scary. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be in a haunted house. And I remember my cousin, God bless her soul. Now she's passed away, but, she's like, yeah, I would go downstairs. And the rocking chair would be like rocking back and forth at like middle of the night. She goes, I look at it and stop. She's like, I always remember her saying it didn't scare me. It didn't bother me. And she's like, I went to the bathroom, came back upstairs, and then it just slowly started rocking again. And then she's like, yeah, our shit would, like our keys would always go missing. Like they wind up in the freezer. And I don't know if I don't think she said that shit to like scare me. Because
keys in the freezer, I would have to just blame on ADHD.
It could be. I mean, they had
because I've done that shit.
I have never put my keys in the freezer.
But
I've found my fucking TV remote in the refrigerator, all kinds of shit.
I honestly, I don't think she was trying to scare me, but I just remember her mom having that fucking easel out front of her house, and you look at it and you're like, oh, the weird pictures and shit. I don't even know what the fuck they were. But
that's see, cool though.
I am such a skeptic that I went to the Lizzie Borden house, the real one, and it was my wife's birthday present to me. I slept in the room where their mother was killed. And there was all these ghost hunters because it was the anniversary of the murders. And
But I think that place has been like over, like maybe if you like that place, or like stopped all the idiots from coming there and were like, okay, this place has been dormant for like 20 years. Now you can sleep here.
I'll sleep there. I don't give a shit.
I know you would. But I would like to see what you saw then. Well, like if that was the case.
So there's a picture someplace, the exact time the father was murdered. I was sitting in the exact position that the father was laying in on the bench that he was laying on, with a reenactor of Lizzie Borden standing behind me with an axe. And all these people who were ghost hunters and stuff there, they were like, oh my God, you're gonna piss off the spirits. Don't do this. Don't do this. We beg you, don't do this. And I'm like, ever.
I see, you know, you like your throat gets slit. You're like, oh.
But I thought it was cool, Michael, because
you should have done that
in the parlor where you could sit down and you could go through all the evidence that they collected at the crime scene, all the court transcripts and everything. That I find cool.
You should have got fake blood and be like, losers. Like, oh my God, he's dying. Yeah, you all suck.
But they're all taking these pictures.
No, I used to do some ghost hunting and shit.
I've never really am I back at all? I'm gonna be low again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chase.
Bitch.
Oh, you're good. So we're in the Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg area. Everything is a battlefield. Like, you can't walk more than 10 steps and not be where somebody died.
Oh, see, that's fucking awesome. There's gotta be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Somebody died every 10 steps.
Like, Bloody Angle right. is right.
Yeah, America.
I actually passed Bloody Angle going to work. You know, there's Stonewall Jackson where he died and then where they buried his arm. That's.
I don't think you necessarily.
Around here is just.
I don't think you necessarily get like apparition or something all the time, but you gotta see some weird shit every now and then. Just with all that crap that went on.
I used to work over at a Home Depot up on Route 3 in a shopping center called Harrison Crossing. They had to halt construction on that entire shopping center like 6 different times because they kept finding human remains.
I thought you were going to say some old guy kept coming in like, well, I need some hand hewn oak wood. Like, who?
What the fuck?
Like, yeah, this guy ordered a whole shopping cart full of hand hewn oak wood and he never showed up again. I'm like, God damn it, not again. Third time this year. That son of a bitch.
No, they were finding like piles of arms where it was an old field clinic.
Oh, amputation pit.
Ugh.
Exactly. And, but also bodies, like full bodies.
That's no joke.
Home Depot is so active, it's ridiculous. Like, I just started a shift one morning. It was like 9 a.m. I'm walking toward appliances and kitchen and bath. And there's this guy in the plumbing aisle. I'm like, hey, do you need any help? He goes to stand up to say, oh, no, I'm fine. But as he stands up, from the shin height shelf comes two rolls of duct tape that come out and fly up and hit him in the chin. Like that, yeah, it just straight up hooked him, and he goes like, nope, don't need any help now, and just fucking walked off.
Nope, not doing it, not doing it, not doing it.
Like, go on now, get.
Like, things would fly off the shelves all the time. Something would call your name from an empty set of aisles.
Shit, I'd be doing that to coworkers all the time.
Would be whistling quite a bit.
Well, in fact, yeah, we gotta
that you could do that, but when it gets
the ghost of Dylan.
Sorry,
we supposedly have a ghost at our facility in the
tunnels. Dude, I'm telling you, there's hold on.
Oh,
can I take a little break here?
Go ahead.
Am I gonna mess things up?
Don't mess things up. Go ahead. Bring me a beer back.
All right. You guys,
we'll just wait for you patiently. Yeah, in the basement underneath our facility, there's supposedly the ghost of Dylan, which nobody's ever seen or heard, but John's heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's okay. Talked about it. Anytime something happens in the basement, we always say, "Oh, that's the ghost of Dylan."
That's funny. Actually, there's a Firestone that I used to work at there in the Harrison Crossing Shopping Center. Is he okay?
He's such a fucking idiot.
What the fuck just happened?
He's over there getting raped by the ghost of Dylan. He goes, oh, not again. I keep coming to this spot every day at 3 o'clock, and it happens every day.
But you'd be like out in the stock room where they have all the tires, and on more than one occasion, I wouldn't say a lot, but you know, 2-3 times, you know, we had bottles of like transmission fluid or whatever, just get fucking thrown across a stockroom while you're in there alone. We named him Robert, I think it was, or Roger or something like that, but he would, you know, fling open the break room door. It was one of those spring loaded double direction doors. And I swear to God, I just watched somebody walk in there. So you'd go in there to see who it was, because you're like, no, everybody that's supposed to be on shift is out on the floor and it's fucking empty.
That's weird. Like I said, there's definitely stuff that I've seen that I can't explain, but oh, look, Johnny's back.
Hey, yo.
He's done hanging out with Dylan.
Dylan, please.
One of Crystal's least favorite encounters. It was actually, we were on the way back from recording. Well, not recording. We were on the way back from the studio of Barrel Aged Flicks. And we were, I don't know, probably a quarter mile from the driveway. And this is out in Partlow, and I was coughing and looking downward, but she just shrieks and starts crying.
The can is over there.
I did hear over to the left side of the truck, because I had the windows down, like a thump thump.
What'd you hit?
And I was wondering what the hell happened, and she wouldn't talk about it for like a half hour.
Your house but cat.
She describes this. Best thing she can relate it to is like, what's his fucking face? Lupin Remus from Harry Potter.
Okay.
Remus Lupin, whatever. The guy. That werewolf is, she swears up and down, that's what it looked like. And so I don't know if I think I mentioned Dogman earlier.
We actually one, that was it, we mentioned it briefly on the last one, but I don't think it got. So that was one thing I wanted to bring up is Dogman.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great one. It's again horrible name. It just sounds dumb, but it was like. It was almost like a dog man with mange. Now, for those that aren't familiar with dog man.
Because I wasn't, and I am still not.
What people most often describe them as is like the werewolf from Van Helsing, but a little bit thinner and leaner. Real high pointy ears, you know, humanoid arms, clawed fingers, stuff like that. But highly aggressive. You know, people, their dogs go missing or they'll find their dogs just absolutely eviscerated by something massive in an area where there are no large predators.
That's weird.
There's actually, I did find one or two photos of, they call it a gugwe, but a gugwe is kind of like an in between Bigfoot and a dog man, but it's like holding a limp body of somebody's white dog.
Now, is there a,
what the fuck?
You can barely make it out.
Is there a range for dog man, like an area where they're more predominant?
Yeah, it's where you can feed them dog food.
Most of North, well, so they're all through Central America, a lot of North America. They're called hombre lobos in Mexico. You'll hear about that a lot in Texas. In Texas they're actually very prevalent to have like this humped back, almost like a hyena.
Is that close to a chupacabra?
No, hell no. Chupacabra. So that's actually a really neat one. This concept of El Chupacabra started in Venezuela. And it was this reptilian little fucking red-eyed thing. But people start looking at these like canine things and call them cabras here in America. Whereas I would say it's just a dog with mange, but some people call them blue dogs.
Blue dogs? I think
a blue dog, blue dog. If you're going blue to dog. Consider it a cryptid, is probably the more accurate term. But a lot of people call these little canine things chupacabra, and that's not a chupacabra.
See, that's weird. I've never really gotten into, not saying that it's not real, but I've never really gotten into the cryptid thing, other than Bigfoot. Maybe Mothman, because that whole bridge thing.
I'd say Bigfoot and Mothman are the two most well-known cryptids in North America.
But maybe my third would be Jersey Devil. Have you ever been down in the Pine Barrens? They're just, it's weird.
I have not. I've seen video of it, and I've heard it's nothing but fucking creepy vibes.
Dude, it is. It's like, how the fuck can Dirty Jersey be, like, you have the beach part of Jersey going down south, and it is literally nothing but pine trees. Like, it's weird. It's fucking weird.
They call New Jersey the Garden State, and that's if you're growing smokestacks or pine trees.
I mean, I feel as Jersey is mainly like a huge city, like Philadelphia. But when you start going down towards the south, it's just those fucking pine trees, and like nothing grows underneath the pine trees. It's so acidic, like leaves don't last, so it's just it's barren. That's why they call it the Pine Barrens. It's pine trees. Anywho.
Yeah, I've always been kind of intrigued by that area.
I mean, yeah, you should definitely go see it, man. It's pretty cool.
What about the Wendigo?
My only issue with my only issue with the Jersey Devil is that it doesn't follow biological norms. But what I mean by that is the description, the body structure just doesn't make sense, you know?
Right. I don't even remember what the hell the Jersey Devil is.
Well, we did a show on the Jersey Devil, the head of a
hammerhead bat.
Does it fly?
Bat wings and like horse hooves.
It flew out of the chimney.
Supposedly,
it flew out of the chimney after the lady gave birth to it.
Yeah, see, it's just like so hard to believe.
The hell kite of Romania. Which is a really interesting and very hard to research cryptid.
Yeah, we did a show. We did a show on the Jersey Devil. They have
a chameleon-like ability. Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out.
When there was a bunch of sightings, they were talking about it possibly being an African fruit bat.
It said recording paused.
No. Where?
No.
Does it still say that?
On my side, it says recording paused and uploading recording.
You're not recording now.
Oh, no. Did we do it again?
I didn't touch it. I didn't do it.
Hang on. Let me stop completely and record again.
Nope. Recording resumed.
Okay.
So all back to your sister, your stepsister stuck in the dryer.
Oh no, step bro.
wait, what? Shit. Wrong podcast.
So what I was saying was some of the recent, and when I say recent, I'm going back a few years before we did the, let's say 5-10 years ago, they were saying an African fruit bat, which is a very large bat.
Yeah, the hammerhead bat.
Yeah. That's what they thought it could have been. Who knows?
Is it bad that I'm selective in my cryptoids.
Your cryptozoology?
Yeah, like...
No.
Like, on that one, the Jersey Devil, no. This one, Dogman,
no, I think approaching this field with a healthy doubtfulness is important.
Yeah. Well, I think I know we touched on this.
It's like if you want to.
That light just went off. It's a motion light.
We did touch on this earlier. Is the stories of Native American lore? I can't dismiss that. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I will not. No, sir.
I won't dismiss that either. You had mentioned that you're part Choctaw.
Yes, sir.
I have family friends who are also part Choctaw.
I gotcha. Yeah, I was talking about Edmund Francis.
Goldie.
And they're at the war party.
Goldie, her mom, Dot. I don't know if you ever met Dot. I guess by extension, my goddaughter, Chelsea.
Okay. But I mean,
to my knowledge, my grandmother on my mother's side was full blood.
You have a...
I think they're much farther than that off the...
You have a people that were so in tune with the earth. I mean, and there wasn't a phone distraction. There wasn't cable. There wasn't this. There wasn't that. There wasn't, you know, and they wrote about these things. So how can you dismiss that?
I don't dismiss it.
I'm not saying you dismiss it.
But what I'm saying is I don't dismiss it. What I do is, because I approach it with skepticism, I don't want to insult the traditions.
Right.
But people see what they want to see, I think, in some cases.
Yeah.
And if there's a story that's passed down from generation to generation, that's inbred in your being, and you're more likely to have that experience than someone like me who doesn't have that, I would think.
Well, I mean, there's...
Right, and I think that kind of goes into what I was talking about in part one about people who are experiencers or sensitive. I mean, it's whether you're experiencing it more because of either possible mental illness or if you're just very suggestible or if you're actually experiencing it.
Now, this is way off the topic, way off. But I want to touch on it just for a second, and maybe we could do another show on this if you have an interest in this. Stairways in the Woods. Do you ever hear of those?
Oh,
Stairways in the Woods.
There's like you say with the way
look
that
at
they're
you
supposed
going out all rogue.
Listen, I do research.
Pulling an audible.
Like you said, there's a playbook on how to approach a Sasquatch. There is also a written playbook on how to deal with these Stairways in the Woods for the National Park Service.
You blow me away here, bro.
I always thought of them as like an art project.
Whoa, you blow my mind.
No, I'm serious.
I'm saying like you're doing national park shit, and like you know how long I followed all that crap with like the David Paulides, the 411, Bigfoot. cryptids, just going
I just
down
want,
the rabbit.
I don't want people
hole.
To think I'm crazy. I'm not saying I believe in it. I'm just saying I find it odd that so many people have had these experiences.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Oh my God.
That's what I just said.
Oh, we're doing it then.
Super cool.
Oh, we're doing that.
A stairway to
no place.
Okay.
But people disappear.
Yeah. It's a stairway to see.
I've heard people disappearing in the woods.
I imagine it's probably something to do with the Fae.
Fairies.
What are your thoughts on the Fae? How's that?
I think they're great for D&D. I used to love playing D&D when I was a kid.
Well, so you have fae and elves in Iceland and Scotland. Over here in Central America and North America, you have them called Duende. I think it translates to inhabitant or dweller. And these are actually humans that are seen a lot more commonly than you think.
Were you being serious? Or did I just sign myself up to like some kind of fucking nerd game?
No. I'm being serious.
Because I'll do both. I don't care.
Dude, you know where I heard about it?
I'm down for both.
Do you know where I heard about it?
Me.
You turned me on to the podcast that I listened to that on. One of Rob Dog's stories?
No shit.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome.
But I think we should step into that.
Hell yeah. I'm down.
But you're going to have to actually do some research. Watch a video or something.
No. You know what I'm going to need?
Or at least...
No, I think they're fascinating.
At least listen to Rob Dog. It was
that I can do.
It was like right after we first started.
No shit.
That was one of the shows I listened to. See, when we started this show, when we did we did 10 episodes before we released anything. We only released 6 of those 10.
Right.
The others are I still have them, but they're lost to time. They'll never
underneath concrete.
Never be released.
The ocean again.
But so after we did our first 5, I was editing them, and I said to him and the other person that was doing them with us, I'm like, dude, I cannot release these. Like, we're vulgar. We're like, it's bad. And they said, well, what do you mean? Have you ever listened to, Brohio podcast? And I'm like, no. And they said, well, listen to a couple episodes of Brohio, then make your decision. I listened to one episode. Well, actually, dude, I ended up listening to about 20 episodes of Brohio.
That is still one of my favorites.
And I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're fine. We can release these.
Yeah.
So
if we could do a collab with Brohio. Hey,
people listen to Barrel Age Flicks, man.
Barrel Age Flicks is tame compared to Brohio.
Oh.
We're tame compared to Brohio.
At one point, and this is pretty tame for them, I think one of the reviewers sent them a huge, gigantic dildo that was like...
Dude, it was like 4 foot tall.
And they call it Girth Brooks.
Yeah, Girth Brooks.
Those things are like $3,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody sent him one.
And they take it around with them to when they do live broadcasts.
That's fucking hilarious. I've seen people where like they'll get one as like a demo or something from or like a promo piece, and they'll use it as a headphone stand or whatever.
Yeah, but they you should check them out, man. They're I would love to do a thing with them. I left comments on their thing. I think they just blocked me. I'm like, this dude's retarded. they talk about like the shit we would talk about, like fringe stuff, cryptids, whatever, fucking serial killers. That's another one of my favorites. Is their true crime and serial killers.
Yeah, we've done a bunch.
I'm starting to have trouble speaking now.
Well, we're about to wrap up anyway.
Worked a full day and then sat down for a show.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap up anyway. But if you're interested in doing the stairs in the woods with us, that'd be cool.
Dude, we should, man. Like,
I tell you what, I'm totally down if you want to make this a paranormal series, and I'll just guest on every single one.
That'd be cool.
Hell yeah, bro.
So I think we're going to wrap this one up because we started off on Bigfoot, and I am so glad that we branched out, into some other stuff. And I think like having someone like me, who's a skeptic and,
someone you're a like skeptic,
yes,
turned believer,
not turned, bent a little bit. I'm like the Peronis. I'm like the Peronis of paranormal. I'm bent a little bit. And then someone like John, who is he's here and he's here. And then you, who happen to have a good amount of experiences, which is it's cool as hell. So,
hell yeah.
Like I said, I have a surprising amount of them, but I wouldn't consider myself what they call an experiencer or anything like that. And I've just become super entranced by it, if you will. So I just go down the rabbit holes and do a lot of research, and I find it absolutely fascinating.
Dude, what would you do if the descendant and like some dog man like ate Chase's face? I was like, no! Like, Chase? Chase, was that real? Are you okay, man? Oh my God. He's like, what the fuck just happened? What the fuck just happened, Michael?
No, but legit, if you guys do want to come down, I wouldn't mind doing a camp out. Like I said, we're on 48 acres. We got some pretty good woods, and it's relatively...
Me and Michael have a tent.
Reliable.
Me and Michael have a tent. I've got a hockey mask. Michael's got a machete.
Oh, my God. No, we'll find some chicken to sleep in and just throw against a tree.
There we go. Paranormal and horror movies. Put it all together. All right. With that, we've taken on a whole lot of paranormal and cryptids.
But yeah, for sure. Someday. Yes. Hell yeah. We'll think of one to offer, man.
So you guys go on and take on the world, and look forward to us getting together again and talking about some other stuff.
This is fun.
Yeah, man.
Hey, this is Sammy from Barrel Age Chicks, and I'm here with Yen.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Yen?
I'm feeling amazing.
Yes, you are. Well, what we're here to do today is talk about where you can find Barrel Age Chicks. You can find us on Google Podcast,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Anchor,
and Good Pods.
Yep.
On the Barrel Age Chicks, we have myself, Sammy. We have
Yen,
of course. And then we have Snow, Crystal, and Harley.
Yep.
We enjoy talking about everything from movies to being current moms to being just the ladies of the Barrel Age Flicks boys and their shenanigans in general.
Please join us without kids. Thank you.
Yes, our podcast is explicit content, so it is definitely not for little ears. But come out, let your hair down to hear the chick side of things. Whoop, whoop. It's a shit show.
Please join us. We need some mom time.